In this week's Parsha, Parshas Va'era, we have the first seven of the Makos. Sometimes we could think, by looking at the Makos, that they were just various plagues that were sent out in a random order, one after another, to destroy Mitzrayim. By studying them carefully, we can see that this is not so. And I'm going to go through, there are many, many approaches to this. I'm going to talk about two of them. When Hashem spoke to Avram by Bris Ben Habsarim, He said that there were three things that would happen in the Golus of Mitzrayim. Vayomer l'Avram, Hashem said to Avram, Yodei teda ki ger yezer'acha ba'aretz le'lehem. You should know that your children are going to be gerim. They're going to be strangers in an eretz, in a land le'lehem that's not theirs. They're going to feel like strangers in a strange land. Va'avadum, and they will be enslaved. They're going to have to work. And not only will they have to work, but ve'inu aysam, and there's going to be torture as well. There's going to be hard work, and there's going to be torture. Abraham Ayeshana, 400 years, which of course we know was shortened to 210 years, again using various calculations. The rectification of this is seen in the Arba Lashonos of Geula, meaning there's the gerus, the feeling like strangers, the enslavement, and the torture. There's going to be, in a reverse order, getting out of these three stages of Golus Mitzrayim. V'haytesi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim means that I'm going to take you out from under the torture of Mitzrayim, meaning the torture is going to stop. It makes sense, right? They went into it first as strangers, then as workers, then as torture. So the first thing that's going to end is the torture. V'haytesi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. And then v'hitzalti eschem avaydasam, which means that we'll stop being slaves. Hashem is going to save us, that we don't have to be slaves anymore. And lastly, v'ga'alti eschem b'zrayin netuyo b'shvatim g'daylim, I will free you with an outstretched arm and with many great makos. I'm going to take you out and you'll become a free people. And we see this actually does happen in the stages of Mitzrayim. We know that the makos went on for a year and that they were not being tortured up until the last minute, nor did they have to work until the very end. And it seems like after the first set of makos, the torture stops. And then after the second set, the avdus stops, the slavery stops, until the only thing that they had were being gerim, which can explain to us something that we might wonder about. We have a hard time understanding this. How could it be that there were people who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim? When they saw the nisim and they saw the neflais, why didn't they want to leave? How could they not have left after they saw everything and remembered everything that Mitzrayim had done to them? And it could be because at that stage, it's already been months and months since the torture and the work stopped. Yes, they were still gerim. Yes, they felt like strangers, but life was pretty okay by the end of Mitzrayim. And perhaps they thought like, well, we're going to go out to the Midbar, to the unknown, to where, to what, to start all over again. And of course, this resonates with us because we know our history and we know that there are times where we look back and we say, why didn't they leave? Why didn't they just go? And I think the question thrown back at us would be the same one, right? Go to where? Go to how? To who? But I have a house here. I have a life here. It's very hard to leave something that you know, especially when there's no immediate danger. And for the Yidden in Mitzrayim, by the time it was time to leave Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim wasn't such a bad place. And it's also why during the years of the Midbar, there was the perpetual complaint of Nitna Reish v'Nashuva Mitzrayim. And again, we look at this and wonder and what do you mean go back to Mitzrayim? What do you mean it was better at Mitzrayim? So people have short memories, and that's why they could say such a thing that sounds so ludicrous to us. The third stage of getting out of Geirus, of becoming free, that happens after Makas Becharis, when we're no longer Gerim, when we were allowed to go. There is a fourth stage, of course. It's the Arba Lashonos of Geula. The last one is V'lakachti, when Hashem says, I'm going to take you to become my nation. According to most Mefarshim, happen after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It happens by Matan Torah, is the fourth stage of the Arba Lashonos of Geula. But the first three were to rectify these three stages of Bris Ben Habsarim. Rav Samshon Fall Hirsch has a different interpretation. Again, going to the three stages of being in Mitzrayim, but he connects this idea to the way that Rabbi Huda divides up the Makos, the Tzach Adash Ba'achav. So this is not just a short form for us to remember the 10 makos. It's 10 words. It's not so hard for us to remember. Now giving it to us in 3 words, so it saves us 7 words to remember, is there must be something more to this mnemonic that Rabbi Yehuda gives us. And Rav Hirsch says, and again, there are many, many different ways to interpret this, but what Rav Hirsch says is that there's in the division of these makos, we can see the rectification of these 3 stages. And he says in the first, second, and third of each of these groupings, we can see the purpose of the makos to help us understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on one hand trying to show the Mitzrayim what it felt like for us, and on the other hand, and more importantly, to teach us how to get out of these stages. The first in each set of Tzach Hadash Be'achav is Dom, Arav, and Barat. And Dom, Arav, and Barat come to show us, or to show the Mitzrayim, what it's like to be Geirim, to feel like strangers. Dom is blood. A person feels at home when he's comfortable in his environment, when he feels like he has what he needs and he's secure. So when we invite a guest into our house, we say, make yourself at home, here's the fridge, here's where I keep the coffee, here are my cups, help yourself to anything. Take what you need. But by Makas Dom, they lost their source of water, and more so of sustenance and livelihood. They realized, I don't have what I need. And that's when we feel the most like I'm not at home. At home, I know where everything is. And when we're in somebody else's home or in a different city, and I don't know how to get to the bakery, I don't know how to go to the store, I don't know how to use the transportation, I don't know. That's when I feel like a stranger. I don't have the things that I need. So that's what Dom did for them. Arav, wild animals. A person cannot feel comfortable and secure in his house when it's being overrun by animals. There are expectations of where animals should be and where people should be, and I feel very uncomfortable when the natural order of things gets mixed up. I can't even be in my own home because there might be a lion in there. And lastly, the other thing that makes us feel at home, or that I have what I expect and I know what I expect, is the weather. When you live in a city for long enough, so you know, okay, it's the middle of January, I'm speaking to you from Toronto, obviously there's snow on the ground, it's January in Canada, there's going to be snow on the ground, and it's when the weather doesn't work the way it's meant to work, and if you're listening to me in Florida and there's snow in the ground, then you feel like, wait, something is off here. And Barad, the blocks of ice that came down with fire in them made them feel very, very unprotected and like they were not at home. The second set, Tzvardeya, Dever, and Arbe. These makos came to make the people feel like slaves. How so? Tzvardeya are the frogs. We feel a natural supremacy over the smaller things around us. We feel like I am in control. However, by Tzvardeya, the frogs had free reign, total control, and the people were helpless to get the frogs out. I think it's similar to what happened to us when the pandemic first struck, when COVID first struck, and we felt like, wait, we know science. We're in control. We are the bosses. And all of a sudden, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us, you're not the boss of anything, I'm the boss. So the lowly frogs showed the Mitzrayim, you have no control over anything. We're here, and we're lowly frogs, and you can't even control us. The Dever destroyed all the animals, and the Arba, the grasshoppers, destroyed all the grain, leaving the Mitzrayim impoverished and without the ability to feed themselves, never mind to be masters over anyone else, meaning they lost their livelihood, they lost all their possessions. And the last of each set, which was Kinim, Lai, Shchin, Boils, and Choshech, darkness, but it was such a thick darkness that they weren't able to get up and to move around, were intense suffering, intense forms of torture, letting the Mitzrayim feel what the Yidden had experienced over all those years of torture, of labor and pain, of the Avodas Parach. The Makos were purposeful. They came to teach Paro a lesson, to teach Mitzrayim a lesson, but mostly to teach us, Klal Yisrael, a lesson. Hashem says, "Boyel Paro," in next week's parsha, "Keni ichbadeti asliboy v'aslev avadav l'man shisi oisesai ela bikir." But you know why Paro keeps on changing his mind? You know why he's making things so uncomfortable and why he's being so obstinate? It's because I want to give these makos to them, so that the next pasuk kulamanta seper basne bincha ven bincha es hasher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. I want you to be able to tell your children and your grandchildren about these makos. Es oisesay hasher samti b'am v'yedatam ki ani Hashem, and then you'll know that I am Hashem. When you hear about these makos, you know that I am Hashem. When we pull them apart in this way, we can clearly see the fulfillment of the nevuos, and in a way that they probably weren't able to discern as they were experiencing it, because we could never see a full picture when it's actually happening. It was only afterwards, when you look back, you can see, oh, that's what Hashem was trying to do. And the purpose of us learning it, and the purpose of us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm doing these makas so you could tell your children and your grandchildren, one of the things that teaches us is that nothing is random. There is a process and a fulfillment and a plan, a real plan. And the makas of Mitzrayim had to come in the order they did and in the way they did, because there were lessons that we were meant to learn, and there was a process here, and there was an unfolding here, and there was the tzachadash b'achav is purposeful. Sometimes when we're going through trials, tribulations, I don't want to use the word makos because it's too strong of a word, but sometimes we're confused. What is this? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to teach us? Why? We have to know, I might not be able to see it, but there is a process. There is a plan. We need to have the patience, and we need to have the bitachon, and watch it unfold. Leman shisya, I have a reason, so that when the whole picture is there, we're going to be able to look back and indeed tell our children, leman tisaper b'aznei bincha ven bincha, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always and constantly there with us, v'yadatem ki ani Hashem.